ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This is up too loud. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 15, Description of Mystic Yoga Perfections, text number 28. I mean, is that right? Madhbhaktya Shuddha Sattvasya Yogino Dharana Vidaha Tasya Traikaliki Budhir Jannamrityu Pabrimhitaha Madhbhaktya Shuddha Sattvasya Yogino Dharana Vidaha Tasya Traikaliki Budhya Janma Mrityu Pabrimhita Madhbhaktya By devotion to me, Shuddha Sattvasya, of one whose existence is purified, Yoginaha, of a yogi, Dharanavidaha, who knows the process of meditation, Tasya, of him. Traikaliki, functioning in three phases of time, namely past, present, and future, buddhi, intelligence, janamrityu, birth and death, upabrimhita, including A yogi who has purified his existence by devotion to me and who thus expertly knows the process of meditation obtains knowledge of past, present and future. He can therefore see the birth and death of himself and others. Purport. After having explained the 8 primary and 10 secondary mystic perfections of yoga, the Lord now explains the 5 inferior potencies. That's not a big purport. One sentence. But there's a lot in this verse. I will. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Tena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Tena Bhutale Svayam rupa kada mahiyam dadati svapadantikam mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham bande shri gurum dinatarinam. There are 4 types of persons. Kamis, Jnanis, Yogis, and Devotees, Bhaktas. Kamis, Jnanis, Yogis, and Bhaktas. And to be a devotee is exceptionally rare. When the demigods, Lord Indra, was faced with the tenacity and the devotion. And as a result of the devotion, the detachment of Vritrasura, who was effectively a demon, who's born in, as a result of almost of a curse, and he was on the side of the demons. He was fighting against Indra. But yet, Vritrasura was showing a deep understanding of spiritual knowledge and of the temporary nature of the material world. He was completely detached. And Vritrasura knew that when Indra would kill him, that he'd be liberated. Because Vritrasura was in his previous life, he was Maharaj Chitraketu. And as a result of his cracking a bit of a joke with Lord Shiva, or at the expense of Lord Shiva, which wasn't appreciated by Lord Shiva's wife. Yeah. If you want to upset the wife, then make a joke about the husband. Even if the husband is a rascal, you make a joke about him, then the wife will get furious. So Parvati was upset, even though there was a relationship between Lord Shiva and Maharaj Chitraketu, because they're both very exalted and elevated devotees. And detached. That was really the underlying principle of the joke. In one sense, here's Lord Shiva addressing all of the sages, but his wife is sitting on his lap, which ordinarily shows a great degree of attachment in a normal person. it would probably be considered embarrassing if I sat here and gave the Bhagavatam class with my wife sitting on my lap. See, we're all laughing. We get the joke. We get the joke. Parvati wasn't so impressed, though. But Maharaj Chitraketu took it as Krishna's arrangement that he'd made an inappropriate joke and he'd upset Mother Parvati. So he got off of his flower aeroplane and he offered his obeisances to Mother Parvati, and he said, "Whatever I deserve, I accept." This is a degree of knowledge, of elevation. So he was cursed to take birth as a demon. And he took birth as Vritrasura, who was an enemy of Lord Indra. Actually, he wasn't an enemy of Lord Indra. Indra was really an enemy of his, as it turns out. And but Vritrasura was showing this detachment. Indra was frustrated in his attack upon Vritrasura. He was extremely powerful. And being attached to the result somewhat in this particular circumstance, because ordinarily the devas and the demigods are very elevated and exalted personalities, but sometimes even they show their frailties, their conditioning, and so on. Indra was bewildered by the detachment, because Vritrasura knew that Indra was empowered to kill him. He knew it. And he knew that he had been benedicted by Didichi. He'd been given a weapon which had been made out of the bones of Didichi, which is another amazing aspect of that story. Didichi was willing to give the demigods his own body so that they could fashion a weapon that could destroy Vritrasura, who was such a powerful personality. So the demigods were amazed. They were amazed at how can this person, who's such a demon, be such a great devotee? And they were making a comment. There are as many living entities as there are atoms in the whole of the creation. And out of those living entities, hardly one is interested in spiritual life. Hardly one. They're all pretty much, most people, in our observation, they're all active as karmis. Getting back to these four types of people, karmis, jnanis, yogis and bhaktas. And Krishna also mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. Out of many, many thousands of men, because the demigods are, you know, out of all of the atoms in the creation, as the number of living entities, very, very few, a minuscule amount, are actually interested in self-realization. And of those who, and self-realization means basically coming an understanding of the self, being separate from the body, and understanding the nature of the self, and knowing that the self is eternal and doesn't die. You know, the karma is basically working for the amelioration of the body, and they work and focus only on that. Thinking, you know, that's the be-all and end-all. Most people, if you talk to them about a future life, they don't have any faith in it. They don't have any understanding of it. Although it is interesting in this day and age, karma and reincarnation and, you know, past life and next life are common terms that people use. It's becoming much more common. Still, people don't understand. So to come to that point of understanding, they may have some theoretical or some, you know, understanding of karma, bad karma, good karma, but they don't actually understand what it really means in terms of how it impacts on the living entity that's eternal. They're thinking in terms of the body. So these are the karmis. So out of millions of karmis, the demigods are saying hardly one arise at this point of understanding the nature of the self. Which is the jnani. Having some realization that one is not the body. This is considered to be perfection. Siddha. Siddha. You know, we have Siddha Yoga, right? Siddha Yoga. The Siddhas are those who come to the understanding that there is an existence beyond the temporary. One understands that one is not the body, that one isn't born, and that one doesn't die. Na jayate mriyate. What is it? Na jayate mriyate. Va kadachin. Yes, and kadachit means at any time. The soul is not born, it doesn't die. It wasn't that it came into creation, but the soul is eternal. So this is the realization of the transcendentalists. Of course, there are different types of transcendentalists. There are those who tend towards the impersonal understanding of the Supreme, and those who understand the Supreme to be personal. Those who are impersonalists are called siddhas. They have attained, or they have a realization of perfection, But higher than that realization is to come to the understanding that the Supreme is a person. They understand Narayan. So Ritrasura is described as Narayana Parayana. The topmost of the transcendentalists is those are those who are they're beyond the siddhas. They understand the Lord in his variety of forms. He has an impersonal aspect, but he also has a personal aspect. Vananti tat tattva vidas jnanam yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti sabhyate is described in the Bhagavatam. How the advanced transcendentalists go beyond the impersonal conception. They understand the existence of the impersonal conception, but they see it in the context of the personality as well. So they understand the Lord. Brahmeti, the Brahman feature of the Lord, exists within everything as that potency, that power that supports and maintains and sustains everything. But they also see the Lord in his personal form as the Paramatma, situated within the hearts of all of the different living entities. Just like it's described in the Upanishads. The super soul and the soul are like two birds sitting on the tree. Can you turn off the sound on that, Pete? Yeah, you can. Yeah, every camera's got a sound off feature. In my experience, anyway. So, the devotees understand the Paramatma. In fact, the yogis aspire to realize the Paramatma. That's the process of yoga practice. The Ashtanga yoga system is actually designed to bring us to the point of purification, whereby we can see the Lord in his personal feature residing within the heart. And he's, as it describes in the Upanishads, he is like the two birds in the tree. The spirit soul is one who is enjoying the fruits of the tree, both the bitter and the sweet, as a result of their particular karmas, both good and bad. But the witness bird, the Paramatma or the super soul, is detached. And he acts as a witness. Krishna explains, Ishvaraha Savabhutanam Riddesha Rajuna Tishtati Brahmayan Savabhutanam Jantra Rudhani Mayaya. He's situated as the controller, Ishvara, Sarvabhutanam, of all the living entities. And he observes all of the desires of the living entity, and he also observes all of the actions, and then rewards him accordingly. According to the activities, the pious or impious activities, and according to the desires that the particular living entity has, then he gives him the just deserts. So the yogis aspire to see that personality of Godhead in the form of the super soul. But beyond the super soul, there's also the super soul is an expansion of the Lord who resides in the spiritual realm, where everybody has an eternal relation with him in their original Satchit Ananda forms. You know, the Paramatma feature of the Lord is basically the expansion of the Lord that manifests the material creation and helps maintain and sustain it to fulfill the desires of the living entities who want to live separately from their existence, their spiritual existence, the original spiritual existence in the Vaikuntha realm. So he manifests first as the Karana Dakasaya Vishnu, then all of the different universes come out from his breathing. you know, when he lies down, when that Brahman effulgence of the Lord is covered by the material energy, which is like a cloud, and within that cloud there's water, and Mahavishnu lies down in that ocean of water on Anantasesh, and then from his breathing comes all of the different universes. Then within those universes he expands himself as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Then he expands himself again as Chiradaka Sai Vishnu, expands himself as the Paramatman. He manages everything in that way. So the yogis aspire to realize that Paramatma, but ultimately that Paramatma is a manifestation of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, of Chiradaka Sai Vishnu, of ultimately Krishna, if we go through the various expansions. So the devotees realize the full manifestation, or the plenary manifestation of the Lord in all of these varieties of features, whereas the siddhas, they're transcendentalists and they're recognized as such and they're respected as such. Inarjuna Maharaj was mentioning this the other day. The transcendentalists who aspire for the Brahman or impersonal realization, they're honored and respected as transcendentalists. But their realization of the variety of the Lord's existence, from Bhagavan, Paramatma, Bhagavan and through all of the various different expansions to the Paramatma feature and then also the Brahman feature, they don't have that understanding. Yet, because they understand that material existence is temporal and therefore futile, you know, it's the cycle of birth, stay in the material world for some time, run around, do things, then have it all destroyed again, then come back again, run around in that lifetime. You know, it's like children playing in a sandpit. And you get, actually, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I used to go over to my friend's place, and he used to have lots of dinky toys, more than me anyway, that's why I used to go over to his place. And he had a big sandpit. And we used to build roads and fortresses. Then we'd line up all of our tanks, you know, and become totally absorbed. We'd create our own world, our own kingdom. You know, and the mum would come out, come on for dinner. You just ignore your mum. Until, you know, eventually mum comes over and grabs you by your ear and pulls you out, right? But then what do? You just run around, kick everything down, smash it all up, and go home. Then come out the next day and do it all again. Right? So we're like that in the material world. We create our castles and fortresses and build our alliances, but then the material energy smashes it all down. We're off for some time, then we're back again to do it all over again, just like children playing with toys. But the transcendentalists realize the futility of such activities. They're looking for something more substantial. Without a proper understanding of the variety and the pleasure of the exchanges of personal relationships and dealings and rasa, if you like, in the spiritual world, the impersonalists tend to negate everything that is manifest in the material. So they negate even the personality. But the devotees have a different understanding of things. They understand that the material, like Krishna explains in the beginning of the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, how the material world is just like a reflection of the spiritual world. The example is given of a tree that's standing on the bank of a river or of a body of water. The tree is real. But the reflection of the tree in a body of water is ephemeral. It looks like the original tree, but actually it's just a reflection. So the material world is false because of its temporal nature. But by the same token, it has aspects or features of the spiritual realm because it's actually a perverted reflection of the spiritual reality. And so therefore, personality, relationship, engagement, activity is not rejected by the Vaishnavas because they understand that the material creation ultimately coming from Krishna has some element of reality in it. The forms that are created are temporary and so therefore illusory. But the energy itself is real, and ultimately it's coming from Krishna. And the transcendentalists know that by taking that energy, which might ordinarily be, which is ordinarily material, and you know, as a result of the combination of the modes of material nature, especially the modes of passion and ignorance, degrading. When the living entity's activities are influenced by the mode of ignorance, then what happens? Down into the animal species. When he's in the mode of passion, then he's generally in the, and as a result of being in the mode of ignorance in the animal species, then basically a lot of suffering. And ignorance, basically. In the mode of passion, the living entity is active, very active. We see just look at the city of Melbourne, especially now. Go out and look at Kingsway, and you just see cars going. But if you look at the activities, there's some pleasure in all of that, but basically, the end result of all of the activity is distress. You know, look at the newspaper, and you'll find, you know, all the people that got killed yesterday, all the people who got bashed up in a fight on the weekend. Right? All the people who died in motor car accidents. The state of the economy. Whichever way you go is going to be bad. You know, we're emitting too much greenhouse gases, and so the planet is going to be destroyed in a very short period of time. That's the end result of your mode of passion. You know, I've got a Time magazine that's 10 years old. And it's very interesting because it's about saving the planet. It was a special edition of Time magazine. And it's just about saving the planet. And they were talking about doing that 10 years ago, right? In fact, they were talking about it in the 1980s as well. And I recall in the 1970s they were talking about the same thing. And, you know, the warnings were, we are destroying the planet. But this is the result of the mode of passion, distress, basically. And, again, birth, death, old age and disease. But when a person comes to, and it mentions here, Shuddha Sattvasya, when one comes to the mode of goodness, but not just the material mode of goodness, because the mode of goodness is also elevating. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita how one in the mode of goodness is elevated to the planets of the higher denizens, the Siddha Loka, Brahma Loka, all of the different planets of the higher, more advanced beings. But of course that keeps one still in the material world and still subject to the even in the mode of goodness one may live for a very, 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 very long period of time. And as Maharaj mentioned the other day, you know, when one's born in the planets of the demigods, then one's automatically 16 years old. And then you live for internally long period of time. But even then, still for the demigods, they're still beginning, middle and end. Birth, death, old age and disease. Only birth is a very simple affair and death is also very quick. And describe when the garlands the demigods are wearing start to fade, then they know that's it, time's up. But then one has to come down again into the middle planetary systems. So the one who comes to the point of Shuddha-sattva, though, and that's the devotees. By the process of devotional service, one can actually, you know, come to this understanding of the nature of the spiritual realm and the nature of the material realm, and the fact that the material realm, even though ordinarily that material energy is contaminating and degrading, still that energy can be used in a positive way so that one becomes elevated and can transcend the influence of the material realm. And one does that, especially, we are very fortunate, one is able to do that by the following the process of the bhaktas, or the process of bhakti yoga, wherein one is able to achieve a complete understanding of the Lord from the transcendental realm, planets of the more elevated beings, to the material realm and to the lower planetary systems. The devotee is able to understand the entirety of the whole creation plus the manifestation of the spiritual realm. He's able to appreciate and understand everything. And in this case it describes one who's purified and knows the process of meditation. It mentions here. A yogi who has purified his existence by devotion to me. So mad bhaktya. One who follows the process of devotional service, shuddha sattvasya, and as a result becomes purified. You know, it's mentioned that, you know, the process of karma, kanda, the process of jnana, and the process of the yogis, these activities actually have some purifying capacity. They actually have some purifying capacity. But the example is given, just like a farmer may clear a patch of land so that he can grow a crop, right? And he can pull up all of the weeds, dig up all of the trees and the bushes and so forth. But then when the rain comes, it all grows back again. Just like down at New Nundagram, we've got this patch of land up the top there where the school is, where we have the retreats, right? And it's been cleared. But over the years, what's happening is the gum trees are coming back. Right? And they're just starting to grow back up again. So when it rains, the seeds of the gum trees get activated. They germinate. And then off they go. So even though one follows the process of karma or gyan or yoga, because those activities aren't endowed with the potency of bhakti, they're not fully purifying. And so we see that practitioners of those activities, they still have material desires. There are numerous examples. The famous examples are Vishvamitra Muni or Solbari Muni. You know, Solbari Muni was a great sage who could, you know, practically, he could suspend the life airs in his body. So to avoid any distraction, he went into the Jamuna and he meditated in the Jamuna for 10,000 years underwater so that there wouldn't be any external distractions. Right? But he just happened to open his eyes to see a couple of fish courting. And that was enough to disturb his mind. And so he had to then leave his yogic practice and went to see... What was the name of that king? It was a... can't remember. Anyway, he was agitated. So, many examples. So the example is given, you may, you know, weed the field and get rid of all of the scrub, but when the rain comes, up come the weeds and the gum trees and everything again. So one has to become completely purified, and only by following the process of bhakti can one actually be fully purified. Srimatam Svagata Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtana, by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, by chanting Hare Krishna, by associating with the devotees, by worshipping the deity, by residing in a sacred place. If one performs the devotional service as recommended by the acharyas, then one can come to this point of meditation, as mentioned here. The process, dharanavida. Dharanavida means to know the process of meditation. And especially for the devotees, they know the process of meditation, and that process of meditation brings them to the point of sudasattvasya, of purification. And Prabhupada gave us a number of methods by which we could achieve that purity. In fact, the Panchanga Bhakti processes. What is it? Sadhu Sangha, association with the devotees. Nam Kirtan, chanting Hare Krishna. Bhagavat Shravan, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Murtira Sevaya, the worship of the deities. And residing in a sacred place, Maturavas. These five activities, basically Prabhupada has incorporated them in all of our basic morning program. So these five activities give even a person who doesn't have any faith in the process access to prema bhakti. And of course prema bhakti is very powerfully purifying. But there's another activity that Prabhupada gave us for meditation. And it was something that he exemplified in his own life. You know, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentions, what is it? He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. Right? And the association of the devotees cannot be underestimated. It is extraordinarily powerful. And especially if one follows the instructions of the Vaishnavas and specifically follows the instruction of the spiritual master, then one can be elevated to this point of sudasattvasya, pure devotion. And that example is pretty much exemplified by Srila Prabhupada in his taking the order of his spiritual master and accepting it as his life and soul. And basically that order was fairly simple. Well, shall we say, it wasn't a very complicated instruction that he was given, you know, just go and preach. But of course, you know, if you unpack all of that and unfluff it, then you've got a very, you know, you've got the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and all of the complexities and da-da-da-da-da. But it is interesting, you know, that was Prabhupada's meditation. And I've mentioned this in a class a few weeks ago, but it struck me again this morning. This is also our meditation. It's our process of meditation. You know, we meditate on chanting Hare Krishna. We meditate on serving the deities. We meditate on our association with the devotees. But a lot of our meditation is our service. It's the service that's been given to us by our spiritual masters. You know, Vande Gurun. We offer our obeisances to the spiritual masters. not just our spiritual master, the initiating guru, but also those devotees who guide us and assist us and give us the shelter of devotional service. That's actually a benediction. And we see in Prabhupada's case, he took his service so seriously. He says that the instructions of the spiritual master are the pride of the disciple. And there's the example of Guru Dasubal, I think, who came to Prabhupada in Vrindavan and was complaining about how, you know, the workers were always cheating him and the suppliers were always, you know, giving them poor quality goods and there were people stealing. And he says, you know, Prabhupada, all I'm thinking about is money and writing out checks and keeping track of this contractor. And, you know, I can't think of Krishna. And Prabhupada said, well, do you think that Arjuna was just sitting down on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, meditating on the form of Krishna? He said, no. You know, Arjuna was concentrating on killing the enemy. You know, aiming his bow and arrow and shooting them full of arrows. He said, you know, this is not material thought when we're thinking of the money, when we're thinking of the cement, when we're thinking of the reinforced steel, you know, blah, blah, blah. He said, this is Krishna thought. Because we're thinking about building Krishna's temple, basically. That's what it was. They're building the Krishna Balaram temple. Prabhupada's meditation was, yes, on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He would rise at, 1 o'clock in the morning and translate the Bhagavatam or the Chaitanya Charitamrita or the Krishna book or whatever it was that he was working on. So Prabhupada had his, and he would chant his rounds. So Prabhupada had his sadhana, if you like, his sadhana bhakti, but he also did his service. And, fought, basically, for Krishna. So, this dharana vidha, this process of meditation for us is not, going off into the forest and, No. Well, our process of meditation, if you like, is get up early in the morning and chant Hare Krishna. But then in the daytime, our process of meditation is also to preach, which was basically the instruction that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave Srila Prabhupada when he first met him. And, unpack that instruction and you get all of the activities that we're doing, plus the preaching. And that's then yogino dharana vidha. A yogi who knows the process of meditation. That's our meditation. And that meditation has the capacity to purify us. Shuddha sattvasya, to become pure in heart. Of course, shuddha sattvasya for the Vaishnavas means, the Bij Sloka of the Nectar of Devotion. Anya bilasita sunyam jnana kamadyana vritam Krishnanu shilanam. That one's service is performed with the desire to please Krishna. And extended from that, one's service is performed with a desire to please the spiritual master. And extended from that, if Prabhupada is our founder acharya, extended from that is the desire to please the devotees. Because they're also Prabhupada's representatives. And our gurus, we offer our respects to all of the bunch of Kalpataruvyas, all of the devotees are desire trees. So, this meditation on doing our service is also part of the let me say the practice, if you like, the sadhana of bhakti. And when one performs that activity with without any personal consideration, jnana, kama, jnana, vritam, without any desire for knowledge, without any desire for personal benefit, personal amelioration, with only a desire to please Krishna, to please the spiritual master, to please the devotees, with faith that Krishna will protect us. This is faith. Faith means, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, means that if I serve Krishna, then all of my needs will be fulfilled. Everything will be perfect, if you like. That doesn't mean that everything will be perfect, in the sense that there won't be any problems, no magic carpet rides, right? But that Krishna knows what's good for his devotee, and that he will arrange the circumstance and the situation for our purification, for our advancement. So one who has faith and applies himself to the process of devotional service without material consideration. And, you know, we approach that pure devotional service, if you like, by doing what we do in the mornings. Worship the deity. Hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam is the means by which we can remove the unwanted or the unnecessary motivations. Then by the performance of our devotional service in that mood of unmotivated devotional service, then one becomes suddha sattvasya, one becomes pure in the performance of one's devotional activities. Then one is able to see things, understand things as they are, and so it mentions here, tasya trai kalika, sorry, kaliki buddhi. One's able to see birth, death, what goes on in between, past, present, and future. But knows that actually for the soul, there's no past, present, and future. Everybody has been born, and so what happens if you've been born? Yeah, got to die. Now here it mentions that, you know, he can therefore see the birth and death of himself and others. So very advanced devotees can actually, you know, predict when they're going to die. Because we're seeing it from a far more theoretical platform. Yes, I'm going to die. Or shall we say, that's one of the changes that I have to experience. Right, there's 2:13, is it? Or 2:11? Dehino sminyata dehe gomanam jovanam jara diras tatra namuyati. For a sober, self-realized person, changing of the body is not a problem. It's just another. Actually, if you look at the example of Dhruva Maharaj, when death came to Dhruva Maharaj, he just simply stepped on his head and then stepped into the Vaikuntha aeroplane and he was taken to the spiritual world. That's what we can look forward to. If we're able to perform our devotional service in this mood of surrender, offering everything to Krishna and doing everything for Krishna and the devotee's pleasure without personal consideration, then, you know, when death approaches, then the Vaikuntha aeroplane is also there waiting for us to hop on board. Something to look forward to. Death is actually the friend of a devotee, because the devotee realizes it's not the end, but it's the beginning of my existence in the spiritual realm in Vaikuntha. So it's welcome. Time to go back home, back to Godhead. Not another bout in the material world. That's why we get depressed about death, because you think, uh-oh, not more of this. But actually for the faithful devotee, that's not the end result, but rather as the beginning of one's existence in the spiritual realm. I guess I might finish here. Does anyone have any comments or questions? We're a bit late. No. Breakfast time. We won't have a meeting this morning. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.